And may we please now open our Bibles to the 44th chapter of Isaiah. Isaiah 44 in your Schofield Reference Bible, page 752. And beginning with the ninth verse, we will read responsively through verse 17. Isaiah 44, verses 9 through 17, page 752. And may we stand, please, for the reading of the Word of God. They that make a graven image are all of them vanity, and their delectable things shall not profit. They there are their own witnesses, they see not, nor know, that they may be ashamed. Who hath formed a god, or molten a graven image, that is profitable for nothing? Behold, all his fellows shall be ashamed, and the workmen they are of men. Let them all be gathered together, let them stand up. Yet they shall fear, and they shall be ashamed together. The smith with the tongs both worketh in the coals, and fashioneth it with the hammers, and worketh it with the strength of his arms. Yea, he is hungry, and his strength faileth. He drinketh no water, and is faint. The carpenter stretcheth out his rule. He maketh it out with a line. He fitteth it with planes. And he marketh it out with the compass, and maketh it after the figure of a man, according to the beauty of a man, that it may remain in the house. He heweth him down cedars, and taketh the cypress and the oak, which he strengtheneth for himself among the trees of the forest. He planteth an ash, and the rain doth nourish it. Then shall it be for a man to burn, for he will take thereof, and warm himself, yea, he kindleth it, and baketh bread, yea, he maketh a god, and worshippeth it. He maketh it a graven image, and falleth down thereto. He burneth part thereof in the fire, with part thereof he eateth flesh. He roasteth roasts, and is satisfied. Yea, he warmeth himself, and saith, Aha, I am warm, I have seen the fire. And together on verse 17. And the residue thereof he maketh a god, even his graven image. He falleth down unto it, and worshippeth it, and prayeth unto it, and saith, Deliver me, for thou art my God. And the 14th verse of that passage is the text verse. And let's pray. Father, bless, we pray now, this the preaching of thy word. It's awfully important. Please help us to judge it as so and give it accordingly our attention, our devotion. And we pray that thou wouldst help it to work in our lives toward the edifying of others, toward the help of our spiritual nature. And so bless with power our preacher and help every listener. In Jesus' name, amen.
And we pretty well accept that we're different from the liberals and the fact that they don't and we do. We believe the virgin birth, and we pretty well accept the fact that the liberals don't and we do. We believe in the vicarious death, the bodily resurrection of Christ, and we pretty well know there's a line of division between the liberal and the fundamentalist. But there is an area where we very much like them. And I want to call tonight to your attention, or call to your attention that area where we fundamentalists are just almost like the liberals. I want to speak to you on the subject of prime time. Now, every time I say I'll not preach long, it usually means hour and a half sermon. But I don't think I'm going to preach very long tonight. I don't know for sure. It depends on what kind of humor you get me in while I'm preaching. But I don't want you to take notes now while I'm preaching. I want you to look right this way. It's not a classroom. It's a preaching service. I don't know how many times I have to say that, but I don't want you taking notes while I preach. I want to preach at you, and I want our lives to be changed, not our minds to be not notes to be on a piece of paper. So I want you to follow me very carefully as I speak on the subject, prime time. Father, bless, I pray, tonight this message to our hearts and our lives. Help me to help my people to learn to help others, that they may help others to help others to help others. In Jesus' name, amen. God, and I follow carefully the first part because everything hinges on this. God calls our attention to the idolaters. And especially does he call to the attention of his own people, the idolaters. And here's what he says as he says to the people, or teaches a lesson to the people, using as an illustration those who live in idolatry. Here's what he says. He says the idolaters, that's the Baal worshippers and so forth, they take good cedar wood. Beautiful cedar. Cedar that was used, and they use it in the palaces and the temples. They use it as masts for mighty ships. They take this beautiful evergreen with a fragrant scent and use it for the building of lovely buildings. And by the way, they built buildings in those days. Ours can't compare to the buildings they built in those days. And the buildings, 3,500 years old, some of the pillars and walls are still standing. But God said that these idolaters take this beautiful cedar wood and use it in their palaces, in their temples, in their most elaborate buildings and their expensive homes. Then they take the cypress, and this also is a beautiful hardwood coming from the cypress tree. It's an evergreen. They use it in their houses, the building of beautiful homes, elegant edifices. Then he said they take the oak with which they make beautiful floors and use it in the most durable buildings. Oak being a solid, are you listening? A solid popular wood. Turn me down just a tad, please, if you would, just a little bit. A solid popular wood. And they use this oak in the building of their houses. They take the massive cedars of Lebanon. They take the cypress tree with its beauty. They take the oak tree with its strength and use it in building their houses, houses of worship, palaces, temples, and so forth. Then they take the leftovers. Now, I used to do some building when I was a young man. And after the building was all, the house was all finished, there'd be a bunch of leftovers out in the front yard. Maybe a few little scraps of drywall. Maybe some oak flooring and little scraps of oak flooring. Maybe a few short 2x4s or 2x10s. Maybe some decking, or used to call gyplap that was placed under the brick. And they would take all of these scraps of wood and leftovers, put them in a pile, take them away, use them for burning, for fire, and so forth. Now God said the idolaters are doing this. He said, Israel, he said, look at the idolaters. They're taking the beautiful cedar of Lebanon, using it for the nicest homes and the nicest edifices. They're taking the beautiful cypress and using that in the best of buildings. They're taking the strong and mighty oak and hard oak and using it for their houses, their places of business, and so forth. Then they take the leftovers, called the residue here, and mix it with the ash. Now, what was the ash? The ash was a tree with thorns and bitter berries. Sort of a leftover kind of a tree. They did not use the ash in their homes and the building of their houses. They did not use the ash in the building of their palaces. They used the cedar for that. They used the cypress for that. They used the oak for that. Then they'd take the thorny, bitter ash, mix it with the leftover scraps of cedar, cypress and oak, and they'd use that for fire, firewood. They'd heat their houses with it. They'd cook with it. They'd roast with it. Now, that's the leftovers. Not the best pieces of wood. Now, after they have used the cedar, the cypress, and the oak, the best of it for their houses and other fine buildings, they would take the leftovers and use the leftovers for building a fire to warm the houses. And say, they would, they'd say, aha, or we're warm, and with which to cook. Now, here's what they'd do. After they'd built their houses, after they'd used all the good pieces of oak and cedar and cypress, they'd take the leftovers and mix it with the ash, the old thorny, prickly, bitter tree, and burn the leftovers. Then what they had left after they had made their fires for their cooking and for their personal comfort, then they would take what was left over for idols. God says, that's what you're doing. He said to his people, you're like the idolaters in that respect. You give God the leftovers. You give the best hours of your life, prime time, for yourself. You say your prayers at 11:30 at night when you have to prop yourself up and put toothpicks on your eyelids. Watch the television during prime time, read your Bible 11:30 at night. Give God the leftovers. Use all your money up during summertime on vacation. If you got any left over, you give it to God. God said to his own people, he said, you believe my book. The idolaters don't. You're different there. You believe in heaven and hell. The idolaters don't. You're different there. You believe in a living God. The idolaters don't. You're different there. But he said the tragedy is that when it comes to what they give their God and you give your God, it's almost the same. Now the truth tonight is this. Though we're fundamentalists, and we are not going to put up at all or have any patience at all with those that don't believe that that book is the Word of God. And though we have no patience whatsoever with those that would make light of the virgin birth of our Lord, thereby calling him an illegitimate child of an adulteress. And though we have no patience whatsoever with those that would dig up the golden streets and air condition the fires of hell, we're poles apart there. And yet the same weekend trip that was taken today by the liberal who missed his church was taken by thousands of fundamentalists who likewise missed church. And the truth is, the same liberal robs God, and there are hundreds of people in this room tonight who are guilty of robbing God of his tithe and money that's rightly his. God is saying, you remind me a great deal of the liberal, of the idolater. Now he's saying, your mind doesn't remind me of that, because you believe differently. But in the devotion, hear me now, in the devotion that you give to the true and living God, you remind me a great deal of the devotion that is given to the heathen gods by the idolaters. They give their God the leftovers, you give your God the leftovers. They give themselves prime time, you give yourself prime time. They give their God leftover time, you give your God leftover time. And tonight, though this church, by every sense of the word, is a fundamental, old-fashioned, Bible-believing, hell-fire and brimstone, New Testament soul-winning, sin-fighting, hell-hating, Christ-honoring, separated Baptist church, though it's that, the tragedy is that in our devotion and the expression of our devotion to our true and living God, we are not much more fervent than the heathen are to their heathen God or their liberal God. I don't understand that. I don't understand why a fundamentalist wouldn't be more zealous than a Moody. I don't understand it. I don't understand why a fundamentalist wouldn't be more zealous than a Jehovah's Witness. I don't understand that. I don't understand why an old-fashioned Bible-believing fundamentalist wouldn't be more zealous than a Seventh-day Adventist. I don't understand that. I don't understand why old-fashioned fundamentalists wouldn't be more zealous than a Mormon. I don't understand that. Looks like to me, if anybody ought to give his all to his God, it's the one that serves the true and the living God. Looks like to me. And so God comes along and God says, I don't understand you. He says, the heathen gives his leftovers to his God and you give your leftovers to your God. You see, don't misunderstand me. These people were people who prayed. I'm talking about God's people now. God is not saying to these people that you don't pray. He's saying, you give me leftover time to pray. He isn't saying you don't read the Bible. These people did, as a fact, read the Bible. God is not saying to them, you don't read the Bible. God is saying, you give me leftover time and not prime time to read the Bible. God is not saying here that these people did not worship. As a fact, they did worship. You know, that's one reason why our services 27 years ago when I came to this church were 7 o'clock on Sunday night. And that's one reason why they're still at 7 o'clock on Sunday night. I refuse to change the service to 5, 5.30, or 6 o'clock so the folks can get out early and go home for prime time. I believe God ought to get prime time. Now, some of my dearest friends have done this. It'll be a cold day where the booger man lives before I ever do it, I'll guarantee you. First place, I'm too old to change. Second place, I'm too stubborn to change. In the third place, I don't think it's right to change. I mean, I'm just not willing to let you out so you can get to McDonald's before the other churches do tonight. I'm just not willing so you can get home and watch the primetime TV. Why? When the Super Bowl was on last year, some churches had preaching service and cut the service short. Then went to the fellowship hall and videotaped the Super Bowl. Then the entire church went to the fellowship hall and watched the Super Bowl. I'd never do that. We all watched the Super Bowl and videotaped the service. And showed it after the Super Bowl was over. No, I'm simply saying, I just don't believe God ought to have to be pushed aside. I just don't think so. I used to be the house. I know a mighty good church that has services 5 o'clock on Sunday. Nah, it's okay. I do too. I know some of my dearest friends do, but I don't like it. When I don't like something, I say it. I just sort of feel like we ought not to push God to the side. I feel like we ought to let God's service stay where it always has been. Now, these people prayed. God did not accuse them of not praying. He accused them of giving prayer time or prayer to leftover time. God is not accusing these folks of not reading His book. He's accusing them of giving His book leftover time and not prime time. God is not saying to these people, you don't worship. They did worship. But God is saying, you're giving me leftover time. God is not saying to these people that they didn't give to the poor. They did give to the poor, but they gave their leftovers to the poor. What's left over? I never have believed that the Christian's done his job on Christmas when he gives broken toys to the fire department and that's all. I never have believed that. Brother, if I give away something to poor folks on Christmas, it'll be as nice as a giveaway to my own kids or grandkids. I don't believe I ought to give God the leftovers. Now these people, God did not say, you don't feed the poor or give to the poor. They did give to the poor. But God is saying that you're exactly like the idolater in the fact that he takes the oak for himself, takes the best cypress for himself, takes the cedars of Lebanon for himself, and uses the best wood, then takes the ash, the old prickly, thorny, bitter ash tree, and mixes it with the leftover cypress and the scraps of oak and the scraps of the cedar and then burns it for wood in the house to keep warm and to cook. And then what you don't use on the house and what you don't use in the house, if you got something left over, they make a god out of it. And God is saying, let me tell you, the best cedar ought to belong to God. And the best oak ought to belong to God. And the best cypress ought to belong to God. God is not satisfied with leftovers.
And God is not king for a day sitting on a part-time throne. And God does not want you to moonlight with him. God wants the prime years of your life. God wants the prime time of your day. God wants the prime talent of your life. God wants the first tenth of your life. God wants the first hours of your day. God wants the first day of the week. My Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. I refuse to preach anything that gives God less than his best, your best. I find no place in the Bible that says, seek ye second the kingdom of God and his righteousness. I find no place in the Bible that says, seek ye somewhere in your life the kingdom of God and his righteousness. I find no place in the Bible where it says, give me your second best. Give me your leftovers. And God says, though the heathen worship an idol, and though they do not worship the true and the living God, and though you're different concerning your beliefs and so forth, he says, you're an awful lot alike in this matter of devotion. And I'll say it again, folks. I do not believe that it pleases God Almighty when fundamental believers give the same kind of devotion as a bunch of liberal folks do that don't believe the Bible is the Word of God. It looks like to me, if we believe it, we ought to spread it. Looks like to me, if we believe that he's the true and living God, we ought to tell folks about it. We found the answer. We found the truth. I don't understand it. I guarantee you one thing. No bunch of Moonies or Hare Krishna people in an airport are going to get more excited about their heathen doctrine than I am about the true and the living God. They're not going to do it. He's not going to do it. Not only that, they offered scroungy, sickly lambs and animals for sacrifices. God had plainly told them, no sacrifice can have a blemish on it. I'm talking about now sacrifice on the altar. The lamb, the bullock, the turtle dove, the goat, the ram. God had said, no sacrifice can have a blemish. God had said, you'll not offer me a blind animal. And these folks were offering blind animals. Now, they offered a sacrifice, but they offered a blind animal as a sacrifice. God had told them that they could not offer any kind of maimed animal, no crippled animal. But they'd take the best animal for themselves and offer it and make food for themselves and eat the best animal and offer to God a maimed animal. God had told them that they could not have any animal that had been castrated. And they'd take an animal that had been castrated, offer an animal with blemish as a sacrifice. God told them they could not offer an animal for a sacrifice had any kind of scab on him. They'd take some old scabby animal that was a little bit unfit for eating, offer that to God. God had said, I don't want any animal that has any part of his body missing. And they'd take some animal that didn't have a foot, or lost a toe off a foot, or had lost a leg, or lost an ear. God said, don't you give me that earless animal. Don't you give me that blind animal. You know why? Because that animal was a type of the one about whom John the Baptist would say, behold the Lamb of God, and he's perfect. And God said, I don't want any picture of Jesus to be anything less than a perfect picture of Jesus. They had offered the scrawny kind. God had said, I want no animal offered that's bruised. No animal offered that's crushed. No animal offered that has a broken leg. No animal offered that has a cut anywhere on his body. No animal offered that has a wound anywhere on his body. No animal offered that has an infection anywhere in his body. God even said, I don't even want you to offer an animal that's got bad teeth. So mostly, a lot of you folks couldn't be offered as a sacrifice. But he said, I don't want an animal that's got bad teeth. I want no animal that's had any kind of surgery. I want no cut on the body. But these people, God said, what's the difference? Here's a heathen out here, has an idol. He takes the best cypress, uses it for himself. He takes the best oak, uses it for himself. He takes the best cedar, uses that for himself. Takes the leftovers and builds fire in his house and cooks with it and warms with it. And then gives God what's left over of the leftovers. He said, what difference is it when that heathen does that? And a believer of Jehovah God who believes this book offers me an old scabby, skimpy, blemished, blind crippled, deformed animal on the altar. Let me ask you a question tonight. What food do you give to the poor? What food do you give to the poor? Old cans of sauerkraut canned in 1912. Popeye spinach. Though I do owe my physique to Popeye spinach. Don't be afraid, fellas. It's here for your protection, not to attack you. What do you give to the poor? Ask your question. What clothing do you give to the poor? What you've outgrown? Well, if I did that, I wouldn't have anything left to wear. The other day, a fine lady in the choir wrote me a letter, a note after the service. She meant well. She said, Brother Howells, I don't want to embarrass you, but she said you better do a little sewing on the back of your trousers before you come to church next time. It was not any sewing I'd done. It was where they'd been let out. And it looked like where sewing had been done. But what do you give? I'm glad you're listening. Neither you nor I know what I'm saying, but I'm glad you're listening. What kind of clothing do you give to the poor? Ask you a question. What do you give at Christmas time to the poor? Leftovers? Broken toys to the fire department? Ask a question. When do you pray? Won't you choose your favorite TV program and quit listening to it and watching it and pray during that time? Prime time! Better still, won't you take your favorite TV program and don't watch it at all? When do you pray? At night? Last thing before you go to bed? Prop yourself on the side of the bed? Read a few verses? Jeroboam begat Rehoboam? Rehoboam begat all rest of Boam's kids? Joshaphat begat all the bunch of overweight fellas. And say, I never could understand the Bible, and you won't. You wouldn't understand the TV if you gave it the time by the time you give your Bible. I'm saying, God says, I will not be a part-time God on a part-time throne. I want your best. That's what God is saying here. And he's saying, what difference is it if a idolater gives his God his leftovers, and those that worship the true and living God give their God their leftovers. He asked you a question. When do you read the Bible? Don't answer me, but answer yourself. When do you read the Bible? I'll guarantee you that 75% of the folks in this room tonight read the Bible in leftover time. And ask you a question. When do you praise God? When some musical number tickles your heart and the beat of a song gets you more than the words of the song, all of a sudden you get happy like the charismatic crowd does and get in a frenzy because of a certain rhythm. Why don't you decide to give God about 30 minutes a day or 15 minutes a day of the best hour of the day and praise Him? God says, I want prime time. I want prime time. Ask you a question. When do you worship? Oh, I'm not talking when you go to church and sleep for an hour. I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking when you go to church and sing, hear ye the master's call, give me thy best, and don't even come back on Wednesday night to the service. Now, I'll never get used to Christians not going to church on Wednesday night. I'll never get used to it. Now, I'll never be satisfied till the crowd on Wednesday night is as big as on Sunday night, and the Sunday night is as big as on Sunday morning. The Bible knows nothing about playing church. Nothing about it at all. Ask you a question. What part in your life does God get? What part of your income with God yet. You know, I confess to you, for years, I prayed. I didn't give God prime time to pray. For years, I read most of my Bible reading at night, late at night. For years, I did most of my praying late at night. I didn't give God the prime time. I didn't give God the morning time when the day was at its best, when His presence came like glory with His sunrise on my breast. All day long His presence lingered. All day long He sailed with me, and we sailed in perfect calmness o'er a very troubled sea. Other ships were torn and battered. Other ships were sore distressed. But the winds that seemed to drive them brought to me a peace and rest. Then I thought of other mornings of the keen remorse of mine when I too had left the blessing of His presence far behind. So I think I've learned the secret, learned from many a troubled way. Meet God in the morning. You can have Him all day. Give God the best hour of the day. Give God the best years of your life. I'll never be satisfied with this thing about the high school kids are supposed to have all their fun. When they get too old to have any fun, they turn their lives over to God. I won't be satisfied with that at all. I think a 15-year-old ought to read his Bible and pray like a 50-year-old does. I think a 14-year-old ought to be as on fire for God as a 40-year-old is. I don't see any double standard. My Bible said, "He that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also." It does not say, "He that believeth on me, who's 25 years old." He said, "He that believeth on me." That means, "He that believeth on me, who's 70. He that believeth on me, who's 17. He that believeth on me, who's 60. He that believeth on me, who's 10. He that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also." And God is saying, "I want the best you've got, not the leftovers." I used to do it. I did it as a preacher. I'll confess. I'll ask you a question. Reckon maybe you ought not to give your jogging time to prayer? Choose. You give your jogging time the best hour of the day? Or you give your bike riding time the best hour of the day? Or you give the boob tube the best hour of the day? Reckon maybe you ought not to decide to give God the prime time? One day, I was listening to the radio been years ago. And they were describing what they made hot dogs out of. This has been years and years ago. I love hot dogs. Love them. I did. And they were describing what they made hot dogs out of. Do you know? I'm not going to tell you. You'd never eat another hot dog without a lot of mustard on it. But they told that they used this meat for this and this meat for this and all of this. And then they told what they had left over. Did you ever see Mama? Did you ever watch your Mama dress a chicken? I don't know why they call it dress it. They're really undressing it, but... I don't figure out how they call it dressing it because they're stripping that thing. Did you ever see your mom? I can see my mama right now. She'd go out in the backyard. She said, "Get a chicken." And all the chickens would bow to pray. My mama would grab one. She'd put her hands around its head. And those eyeballs going up and down in mama's hand. And mama would take that thing and she'd go to ringing like that. Have you ever saw it that done? And she'd go to ringing like that. And she'd keep on ringing until the body of the chicken felt led to depart. But the head stayed in Mama's hand. I mean, brother, if the cruel to dumb animals people had been alive then, my mama had been in the penitentiary, I guarantee you for sure. I mean, can you imagine what that liberal humanist crowd would say about... I'm still getting letters about those baby chicks that Brother Young gave away. But I tried to talk him out of it. They took me out. They took me out to the courthouse. I had to answer for that. It says against the law. Law says you can't sell them. And then down there in the bottom it says sell means give away. That's the law. You know, the law says sell means give away. Now, I'm not very smart, but I know sell does not mean give away. That's what it said. They said, "Is it true, Reverend, that you gave away some baby chicks?" I said, "Ray Young did." But I did worse than that. I said, "I ate your mama for lunch." And by the way, I enjoyed it too. Yeah. I mean, that's one old hen that went into the ministry. Went in the Lord's work full time. And, but my mama would take that thing and she'd wring its neck. And that thing, there's that headless chicken flopping around out there. That's where the statement came, like a chicken with his head cut off. I can tell you where the head was, in his mama's hand. And there she was holding that head. And then she'd open her hands and that thing would look up at her. And I could hear it say, "Why did you do that?" And my mama had no conscience at all, whether it's a chicken or a son. She had no conscience at all. And she'd take that thing in and she'd cut it open and she'd start reaching in and getting stuff. That's what they make hot dogs out of. I won't tell you what it is, but it's not the outards. You know what I said? As I heard that, I said, you know, that's what I've been doing for God. I've been giving God the leftovers. I've been giving God the same part of my life of hot dogs, yet of the animal. Same part. Leftovers. And I decided to give God my best time. I decided to give God my prime time in my life. I decided to give God my tithe, the first 10, and offering. I decided to give people not a few pennies when they got a little jar there beside the cash register that says, "Give to crippled children." I decided to give money I needed to crippled children. I decided when I gave clothing away, I'd give clothing as nicer than I wear. I decided when I gave food away, I'd give away food that's as good or better than I eat. And I'll guarantee you this. Every student at Howells Anderson College eats twice as well as I do. Guarantee you. I decided if I had a car to give away, I'd give away the best one. I decided that if I had clothes to give away, I'd give away the best clothes. Now listen, I want you to follow me for a second. Didn't Jesus say, "I was hungry and you fed me. I was naked and you clothed me"? And they said, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and fed you? When saw we thee naked and clothed you?" And Jesus said, "Inasmuch as you've done it unto one of the least of these, you've done it unto me." Now hear me now. That means when you buy the least of these a garment, you're buying Jesus a garment. Ask a question. Are you clothing Jesus as well as you're clothing yourself? You can't buy Jesus suit of clothes. He's not here. He said, "But you do it to the least of these, you do it to me." Now ask a question. Son, be still over here on the front row. You moved around enough tonight. Ask a question. When you feed people, you're feeding Jesus. Do you eat better than Jesus does? Do you feed yourself better food than you feed Jesus? Do you wear better clothes than you buy for Jesus? I decided I was going to let Jesus wear the best clothes I had. And I'll guarantee you, through these years, when I buy somebody a suit of clothes that can't afford one for himself, I pay more for it than my own clothes cost. I'll guarantee you that's the truth. Why? Because I want to give Jesus the best I've got. And I'll guarantee you, when I buy somebody food, I'll guarantee you, they eat food as good or better than I eat. Why? Because that's the only way I can feed Jesus. Now, God is simply saying, "I don't want your leftovers." He's saying, "You believe in me? You believe my word? You say your prayers? And you worship?" But God says, "You're just like the heathen. Except they give leftovers to a piece of wood, and you give leftovers to the true and living God." I don't understand that, folks. I don't understand it. I know I'm a fanatic. I know I'm a nut. I know I'm a crazy fool. I know what folks think about me in town. But the only reason they do is I happen to believe you ought to give God the best and you take second best. That's what I believe. That's what this book says. There you say, That's fanaticism. I call it what you want to call it, but it's Bibleism. It's in the book. Say what you want to say. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, His righteousness. Now you listen to me. I decided I was going to set time in my schedule for prayer. That I was going to set the time when I'm wide awake and not about to fall asleep. I'll guarantee you there's not 25 people in this room that have spent 15 minutes in prayer today. I'll guarantee you that. That's an indictment. Oh, before you go to bed tonight, you'll say, Lord, take care of us through the night. Leftover time. I decided to give God prime prayer time. Prime. Ball game time. Jogging time. Bike riding time. Eating out time. Prime TV time. God says here. I decided to give God praise time. And give Him the best time. The best time for praise. I have time set regularly. I do nothing but praise God. Make a list. Take about a minute. Make a list of all the things which I'm praising God. And then look down through the list and have a spell. And glory to God. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Fellow asked a while ago, question and answer time. He said, what do you think about in the worship services? What do you think about holding your hands up and shouting and people all hollering? And I said, well, don't think you ought to holler so folks can't hear. I like amens. If you want to raise your hand, okay. If you want to say praise the Lord, okay. But don't think you ought to have confusion. But when you get alone by yourself, you can have all confusion you want to have. Yeah. Just have a spell. Throw a fit. When I get in my room sometime, I'd make Tammy Baker look like she's Catholic. Come to think of it, I think she does anyway. But anyway, I'm saying. By the way, in case some of you folks upset at what I just said, there's a sign out in front that says Baptist Church. You may have noticed it as you came in. We don't swallow all this stuff that Hollywood stuff and we'll swallow that. I'm simply saying, when I get along with God, I have a spell. I plan it. Yeah, plan it on purpose. Oh, you say, Brother Howes, that's putting on. No, it's not putting on. All I got to do is think for a few seconds about how good God's been to me, and we can just have a time. I decide to set time in my life for confession of sin. In my case, about 10 seconds a day. Then I set time for Brother Young's confession. Brother Young, confession of Brother Young's sins. 15 hours a day. I tried to find time for Brother Moffitt's, but it just ran out of time. But I just confessed my sins for about 15 minutes. Prime time. Worship. Adoration. I set time to do it. The illustration's old. I've used it 50 times in this 27 years I've been here. You've used it. You've heard it. Everybody has. But it's exactly what's got to be said in the close of this message. True story. Missionary in Egypt went down one day to the Nile River. It was worship time. The angry and hungry crocodiles had come to the banks of the Nile. Had opened their mouths wide. It's feeding time. Mothers who worship pagan gods had brought their little babies down to throw their babies into the hungry mouths of the alligators. It's almost beyond comprehension that it could go on. The missionary said that he saw it. He said one little mother came that had two babies. One was beautiful, perfect child. Seemingly. One was sickly and scrawny and pale and looked near death. The mother walked up to the Nile River and the alligators had their mouths open to consume feeding time.
And one by one, mothers threw their babies to their god, the Nile River. And this one mother had one little sickly baby and one well baby. She laid the little sickly baby down, about to die anyway, and picked up the little well, healthy baby and tossed it to the Nile River. And then soon, its life was snuffed out as she gave her well, healthy baby to her god. About the time she was throwing the baby in the Nile, the missionary ran up and said, "Hold it, hold it, hold it, wait a minute, wait a minute." But it was too late. And the missionary said, "Ma'am, a little baby you've got's going to die anyway. Why didn't you throw that little baby to the alligators and save the healthy one?" And this heathen, idolatrous woman looked at the missionary and said, "Sir, I do not know who your God is, but my God deserves my best. And so does mine. He deserves my best. He comes tonight to you and says, I want the best. I want the first. He takes the idols of heathen people and says, you're the same as they are. They use the best cypress and the best cedar and the best oak. They take the scraps and some ash, thorny, bitter ash wood, chop it up and use it in their fires for warmth and for cooking. And then what's left over of the leftovers, they make an idol out of it. God says, you're like them. You give me the leftovers." And ladies and gentlemen, as sure as God's in heaven tonight, the average fundamentalist is giving God the leftovers of the leftovers. The average person in this room tonight is giving God the worst day, worst hours of the day for this book. And the worst hours of the day for your prayer time. How about prime time? God doesn't want your leftover change. God wants the first 10%. It's His. God doesn't want the leftover hours of the day when nothing good's on anyway. God wants the best. He wants the prime time. They'll not be satisfied with anything less. What kind of time are you giving God? What kind of place are you giving God? What kind of clothes do you give to the poor? What kind of food do you give to the hungry? You're clothing yourself better than you clothe your Savior? You're clothing yourself better than you... Are you feeding yourself better than you feed your Savior?